Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. We're just about 18 days away from the official start of the fall season and just a few days from Labor Day. I want to ask you a question this morning, a very important one. What is your concept of God? When you think about God, what are the images that come into your mind? This is a very important question to answer. From my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, I talk about this with one of my Iranian friends. You know, I have the honor and privilege of regularly meeting on Skype with my Iranian friends to help teach them English. During the video chat, we read my books together, and I'm able to assist them in the correct pronunciation of words. So it's a valuable asset to have Skype and to talk to them. We have a great time together. My friends will share with me the latest happenings in their lives, including their fears and frustrations of living under the oppression of the Islamic regime. About 5 years ago, this is a story that has stayed with me. And it was with a friend that used to live in Iran, but she's now in Turkey teaching. And she lives in Mashhad. And I'm not going to mention her name for security reasons. And she told me at that time a very sad story of her early childhood in Iran. Now, of course, you know women are required to wear a hijab whenever they go out publicly. That's the Islamic dress code. The Ghasti-Irshad, that's the morality police, daily patrol the streets of Iran looking for violators of the Islamic dress code. If a woman is not wearing her hijab correctly or it's showing too much skin, and she has makeup on, she can be fined and arrested just for that reason alone. My Iranian friend recalled the time in school when she was a child, when the teacher warned the class that if a woman does not cover her hair or cover her head, that in the judgment, Allah would dangle her by the hair over the fires of hell. Well, when I heard this story, it didn't shock me, but I thought of my friend as a child and how that would have affected her. Now, of course, living in Iran, she knows about oppression and fear, but to hear her teacher say, look, you better get in line with the hijab rule, because if you don't, on Judgment Day, Allah will literally dangle you by the hair over the fires of hell. Well, the themes of fear, judgment, vengeance are the constant themes I hear from my friends in Iran. They painfully describe to me how they were taught about who God is. Remember the question I asked you? What is your concept of God? Well, I seldom ever hear them describe God as being loving and merciful. Iranians, I believe, are subjected to a distorted picture about who God is. If you were ever to just go through the Quran and skirt through it, the theme of unconditional love is never found. Instead, the Quran teaches that Allah loves not the transgressor, that Allah loves not those who do wrong. And my point this morning is this. I want to take us into the parables of Jesus. Why? Because in the parables of Jesus, we see glimpses of who God really is, as described by the master storyteller himself, Jesus. Because this is the concept of God that we need to have rooted and grounded in our thinking. And Jesus dealt with religious leaders. When he would tell stories about God's love, the religious leaders were much like the teachers of the Quran in Iran. They had a concept of a fierce, angry God who said that we must go by the rules and we better perform on this performance treadmill 100%, or God would be displeased with us. And so Jesus, knowing that the way the religious leaders portrayed God, told the story of God's love in his famous parables. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, I want us to read one of the parables we're going to talk about today. There's actually two, but I want to introduce us to the parable of the lost sheep. And listen to the master storyteller, Jesus, explain the concept of God to his friends, to his followers. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Remember the context here. Jesus is sharing with his disciples the concept of a loving God in the crowd of the Pharisees, teachers of the law. The Pharisees were the spiritual interpreters of God's law at that time. And Jesus deliberately tells this story to make a point to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were obsessed with true spirituality and righteousness. They wore their spirituality and righteousness public. They believed that they were the true doers of the law, that they kept the law meticulously, and they wanted everyone around them to know that. But Jesus is exposing their self-righteous hearts. He is saying in this parable, if you were a true shepherd of God's people, you would pursue with all of your heart one lost sheep. And if you were a true shepherd of God's people, you would rejoice when you found that one lost sheep, because this one lost sheep repented and came back to the flock. Because for those that already know true righteousness, they should rejoice with me in finding that one lost sheep. He says, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. If the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law were true interpreters of the law of God, they would rejoice with Jesus over the finding of the one lost sheep. But instead, because of their concept of God and what they believed about God, they couldn't be happy. They couldn't rejoice. And that's why now I want to take the time to share with you the most famous of all parables, the parable of the prodigal son. Our theme this morning is the God of irresistible love. That's a constant theme that runs throughout the pages of Scripture, God's irresistible love. The Bible portrays God as a God of immeasurable love and compassion for his children, even when his children fall into idolatrous practices and chase after other false gods. God pursues them with his irresistible love. Though his heart is grieved, God never stops loving his children, even when they abuse the love that he freely lavishes upon them. Now, a perfect example of this irresistible love is found in our parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. Jesus, as I mentioned, was a master storyteller. And he was a master storyteller about the love and compassion of his heavenly Father. And so picture again his disciples gathered around him. The religious leaders are also listening in to what he's going to say. And Jesus is teaching his most favorite and famous parable. This is a story about a father who had two sons. One day, the younger son demanded his share of his inheritance now. So the father divided up his wealth between the two sons. The younger son quickly departed for another country and wasted every bit of his inheritance on wild and promiscuous living. Well, desperate for money, the younger son agreed to take a job feeding pigs. There was a famine at that time in the land, and the son was so hungry that even the pig pods at that time looked appetizing to him. Well, one day, the son came to his senses and decided to return home. He would beg for his father's mercy and be satisfied just to become, in his word, a hired servant. Well, while the prodigal son was on his way home in desperation, his father saw him afar off in the distance. Now, at this point in the parable, Jesus emphasized how the father reacted to seeing his son. Instead of being angry and bitter over what his son had done, the father was instead filled with love and compassion. And Jesus describes him as running to his son, running toward his son, embracing and kissing him. The father welcomed the son in his arms of forgiveness and rejoiced that he was returning home. We must celebrate with a feast, the father proclaimed, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost and now is found. Well, you know, the brother wasn't happy. The other brother was angry. But after listening to this powerful story of love and forgiveness, the religious leaders were appalled and offended. Their concept of God was one of anger and punishment, and certainly not grace and forgiveness. But this parable perfectly illustrates the God that Jesus frequently spoke about. He is a heavenly Father that never stops loving his wayward and sinning children. He is a God of irresistible love that will pursue us to the end of the earth and win back our hearts and affections for him. Which leads me again to my question this morning. What is your concept of God? Do you carry a heavy burden of guilt and shame? Well, if so, Jesus spoke this parable for a person just like you. Instead of being tormented by guilt, cry out to God today. And just like in the parable, God will run towards you and embrace you in his arms of mercy and compassion. I want us to take just a few minutes right now and listen to a song by Corey Asbury that perfectly illustrates this parable. This is called Reckless Love on the Cross in the Desert.
Thank you. mountain, you won't climb her coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Corey Asbury, a beautiful, beautiful example of what I've been sharing with you this morning about the God of irresistible love. I want to go back to what I began with this morning with the question and the illustration of my Iranian friend. Because, again, this is something I'm trying to get across to us this morning. It's so important that we understand this concept of who God is. When I finished sharing this story with my Iranian friend, she didn't know what to say. It completely revolutionized her thinking because her whole life had somehow been affected by the illustration of the teacher. But she said to me, "You know what, Randy? Deep down inside, I knew God was a God of love. I knew this could not be true." So even deep down in her soul, she understood something about God, even though she had not been explained the gospel before. And I took the time that day to explain the gospel to her. So important that you take the time to explain who God is, because Iranians have been taught a complete and opposite concept of who God is. I want to go back to this story and just share with you something. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God says to his people Israel and to us, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." That is the cry from God's heart to his covenant people. His love is undeserved and freely given to a people who deserve judgment. We deserve judgment, but instead we receive God's mercy. In direct contrast to the Quran's teaching that Allah doesn't love the wayward prodigal son, the transgressor, the Bible instead emphasizes God's unconditional, undeserved love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners." There it is again. The wayward transgressor that Allah doesn't love, but Jesus loves. The picture is this: God loves the sinner. This is the constant theme of the Bible. Instead of the distorted picture of a God of hatred and violence, the Bible instead paints a beautiful portrait of a God who never gives up on his people, who never forsakes them, but is constantly crying out for them to return to his mercy. You see, this kind of picture of God is what enraged the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes. They obviously did not know the God of scriptures. They had reduced God to simply a God of moral commands and duties and self-flagellation. They had reduced God to a God that is angry all the time, that doesn't love his wayward people. But that's not the God that Jesus taught about. I can tell you that knowing this unconditional love of God has transformed my life. So whenever I fail God, and I do, and whenever I do the things that dishonor him, I do, I cry out for his mercy and remember that he is a God of unconditional love. So this morning, if you have a distorted picture of who God is, I hope that this simple teaching has painted the real picture of who he is. If you have never come to Christ for a personal relationship with God, now is that time. Jesus says, "To whom looks on me, he who sees me sees God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. To know Jesus is to know God, to know a God of unconditional love and grace when you come to Christ. The way you come is just as you are. You come seeking the truth, and Jesus says, "I am the truth." When you seek God, he will reward you. He is moved with compassion for those that seek after him. He promises those who seek after him a hope and a future. That's you. This morning, if you come to God, cry out to him. Ask for Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The gospel is the good news of Christ. He has come to seek and save the lost. That's you if you don't know him. And so thank you so much this morning for spending time with me and learning about the God of Scripture, the God of irresistible love, who loves you unconditionally, who will run to you if you are wayward, who will wrap his arms of love and grace around you. I hope this morning that you have learned about who God is. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me this morning and learning about the true God of Scripture. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Thank you.